Praise the Lord. I was trying to look around to see what you how you were praising and worshiping, and God said everybody praises and worships me in their own way. So if you're trying to see what their faces look like, that's not what their heart is like. So when you're looking around at people marching in praise and worship, and you think they're not praising and worshiping, you're wrong. They're just not doing it the way you want them to do it, the way you think they should be doing it. Some of us, you know, we have to praise quietly with inside because the pain is so deep. And you know, it just goes off the scale. And all we can do is just stand there and worship God with our heart. So remember that the next time you look around to see how people are responding, you're not looking at them through the eyes of Jesus. You're looking at them through your lenses. And God doesn't want us to do that no more. Let God watch them. And let God change and rearrange them the way he knows it has to be done, not the way we think that we want it done. Well, Father, I truly do thank you for that word of wisdom. And we can quit judging our brothers and sisters now, Father. And Father, we can go forth in total and complete freedom, knowing that each of us in our own heart is worshiping you the way, the only way we can, Father. Trying to work through the pain, through the debris, Father God, that Satan has placed there. And tonight, Father God, I'm asking that a special miracle be performed among your people. You know exactly what each and every person needs here tonight. So, Father God, we give you full, total, and complete rule and reign. Do what you do best, Father. Perform your miracles, seen or unseen. They're still being performed. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading an article the other day about a little 9-year-old boy who plays the drum like a professional, and he never had any lessons, but yet the whole family, plays some sort of instrument. And God told him one day, he said, they were interviewing him, I want you to go and prophesy on the drums. He had just turned 9. And I think about our kids here, you know, and they're so talented. But we have to bring that talent out of them, you know. If we don't encourage them and lift them up, I know sometimes you think that Isaiah do things he shouldn't do, but you don't know him like I do, and you don't know him like God does, and I'm not going to crush a spirit for you or anybody else. Our kids need to be brought forth. You know, they need to be encouraged, not pushed down, but encouraged. Sometimes at 1 o'clock in the morning, though, when you hear the drums beating, and he has a little piano on that plays his own little tune, you know, and he gets that little thing of beats on it, I'm thinking, oh, dear God. And I have to ask for more patience, but still and all. Then he's singing, you know. But you know what? That's one of God's children. And God's getting him ready to use him mightily. And I'm talking about any child, or he, she, whatever. And what we have to do is encourage him to be all that God wants him to be. Whether right now we see the talent or not, it's there. God's just trying to bring it out. And if each one of you thought about it, somewhere along the line, either your parents squished your talent, or they just let you run rampant and didn't teach you to slow down and just let God rule and reign in your life. Amen. Tonight, the service really is something that somebody else said. But I know, because believe me, Nancy will tell you, I had other teachings in there to do, but God said, I want you to teach us. So this is what we're gonna listen to tonight. So this person had a vision of a claw machine and a dream of a mega tsunami. She said, I had a vision of a claw machine. A claw machine is a type of arcade game found in video arcades, malls, or restaurants. You all seen those things. They'll steal your money right and left, won't they? Especially your kids. Come on, I got to do this thing. known or rigged, or the claw inside the cabinet in order to grab a desired prize inside, which is then dispensed and collected by the player. So that was a vision she had. In my vision, the machine was filled with people sitting comfortably in a row. Then out of nowhere, the claw started moving by itself, picking up those who seemed very comfortable and throwing them out of the game. Now listen to what God's showing here. A few days later, I had a dream. In the dream, it was a sunny day, and I was sitting with my family inside a beach hut, which was further from the beach. In an instant, there was a weather change, and out of nowhere, a very high wave developed. Out of where? Nowhere. It missed us by a few meters, but unfortunately, it dragged others away. If you notice, some are being saved and some are not. This was a phenomenon, and we thought that maybe it was a one-off, but before we could give it another thought, a bigger one developed. We knew we couldn't get out of this beach hut. I believe that this dream is about a mega tsunami. There will be so much turmoil because those in the world are thinking that it's smooth sailing, but out of nowhere, the weather will change. And instantly, water will swallow them up. This incident will be documented on the news as the biggest wave, period. I don't say this to bring fear, as God's people will be protected and kept safe. Remember, God told us all this. In that particular dream, those in the hut were safe. Those of us who did as God requested, come up hither, and stuff with him are going to be saved. As I sought God further, I heard God say that both the claw machine and the mega tsunami have the same message. There will be a divine overturn of current structures, current leadership, and current government. He said leadership, which have been illegally set in place. As a claw machine moved by itself without any manipulation, and the mega tsunami wave turned by itself without anyone controlling it, so it will be in this year, 23, the one we're in. Again, this is not to bring fear. Rather, it is to establish God's kingdom. It will be like the days of Noah when Luke 17:27 said, in those days, the people enjoyed banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat and the flood came and destroyed them all. She says, although in my dream I saw a huge wave, I believe this has a spiritual significance, and it does. All right, vision and dream interpretation. This vision and dream took me by surprise, and as I sought the Lord, I heard the following. There are many shepherds who have scattered and destroyed the flock. Remember that statement. Bad shepherds will be accused, found guilty, condemned, and fired. You know, God told me when I was writing this down that there's a lot of people as shepherds that are only there because, after all, my grandfather did it, my father did it, and so I'm just going to do it. Never anointed or called by God, just stepping into a role that they wanted to do. These are the ones that have not been feeding their sheep the way they ought, and these are the ones that God are going to remove. I know when I was first born again, there was a man that I worked with, and he told me, he said, you need to go and do some sort of paperwork and get a house. I said, what do I want to do that for? He said, well, just get a house. Tell them you're going to minister to people who are sick because you act like you're a preacher and do that. He said, I'm getting all kind of money from the state just saying I'm going to, because I have Reverend in front of my name, and I'm just using that. I'm getting all kind of money from the state. And there was a house he bought out here going up towards my house. And that thing sat there and just deteriorated. But the state paid for that house, and all he wanted was the money that he got from it. These are the type of people God's taken out of their pulpits. Ezekiel 34:7. Therefore, you shepherds, this is Ezekiel 34:7-10. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. God speaking, as I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. See that? Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. So if you're thinking that God has called you to the ministry, you better not only think it, you better know it, and you better be walking in the Spirit and anointed of God and be feeding the sheep instead of just getting money in your own pocket. That doesn't happen in this church, but, you know, we're here so that the sheep can be healed, so they can be fed and healed, and we hopefully believe with all of our heart that hopefully God will minister to the deepest hurts that are in the deepest part of their spirit, man, and bring them forth totally and completely whole. We don't always see that happen. Some people just refuse to let go, right? They just refuse to let go of their hatred and their bitterness, and they stay bound, but it's not our fault. We do everything we can to minister to these people over and over and over again. Now, they have to play their part, too. They have to let go. They have to let go. She goes on to say, I heard the Lord say, my rod is coming out, and I am experienced at using it. That's what God said. The Hebrew word for rod is shevet, can mean scepter or weapon. A shepherd's rod in biblical times was not a walking stick. Rather, it was a shepherd's primary weapon for protecting the flock from enemies, both wild animals and human thieves, period. The instrument itself was often about 2.5 feet long. I thought this was interesting. I didn't know this. With a mace-like end into which heavy pieces of iron were often embedded, it became a mighty weapon. And yeah, I never, you know, because all you ever see is a stick. I never knew it had this kind of stuff on it to keep. Isn't that awesome? Remember that. That's a good tidbit for tonight. All right. This is a message for God's covenant people. So she had a vision of a bookshelf in an area full of tools. In a vision, I entered this glorious place. There before me was a bookshelf that was divided into square cubes. It was so tall and was painted in a shimmering silver paint. Each square cube had something that I needed or was praying for. Everything I needed was at arm's length and nothing was missing. I picked something and said, oh, I needed that. That's a miracle. Then next to it, I picked something else and thought, that's unusual because I needed that too. That's a miracle. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, yes, it's a year of great miracles of deliverance. The boxes I saw were square and silver. And those boxes were things I needed, but the person pushing the cart was taking them away from me. Interpretation of the dream I told you about. See that? All right, he said, I will rebuild. Is that right? Oh, then I saw an area with tools in the vision. I said, Lord, I am not a builder, and I'm not good at handiwork. And God said, I will rebuild you on a firm foundation, and you will overflow with prosperity. What's God been trying to do to us? Rebuild us from the inside out, right? At that moment, I saw a river which had many heads flowing out from where I was standing. This river was alive, and as I touched the river, radiant life entered me. Then I heard what the Lord prophesied to Isaiah. So reading Isaiah 66:12. This is what the Lord says. I will give Jerusalem a river of peace and prosperity. Isn't that what he's been promising us? The wealth of the nations will flow to her. God's told us that. Her children will be nursed at her breast, carried in her arms, and held on her lap. These are all things God has been telling us for a couple years now. And now this person is getting this vision all of a sudden here last week. And this is why I'm reading this, because this just puts together everything that God has told us. And now we're seeing where other people are grabbing hold of this vision. And we know that God is getting ready to move and do the miracles that he has promised us. I think he just gave me a word to post where he's getting ready to do the miraculous. God is ready, but are we, is what I'm just asking you that. Are you say, oh, I know God's going to heal me, but are you ready to receive the healing, the miracle of the healing? See what I'm saying? Whatever he's promised you, are you truly ready to receive it? Is there a little bit of doubt? I'm not saying there is. It's just things we have to think about. Is there just a little bit of doubt that's holding that thing from coming into complete fruition? This is why we need to search ourselves constantly. Why is what God promised me not yet coming to pass? It could be now is not the time. Like Job, now is not the time. And we're being tested at the very core of our being. And God keeps telling us, don't quit. Don't sit down. Keep going. Isn't that what he's been saying? Because he knows that your answer to your prayer or the answer to whatever he told you he was going to do is there. The enemy's trying to steal it. Please grab a hold of this tonight, because I know that I know that I know that right now many people are dropping off from serving God because they're not seeing the answer to their prayer. It is there. Just like in Daniel, you know, as the minute Daniel prayed, God sent the answer, but the enemy grabbed a hold of the answer, and then Michael had to go and fight him to let go of the answer. And I really, you see, Daniel was a man of faith, real faith. And see, Daniel never gave up. He knew the answer was on his way, so he received it. But we aren't like Daniel. We are more flesh than we are faith. The majority of the time. And so whenever it doesn't come, we start getting into discouragement. We start going down that road of negativity. Next thing you know, we don't have it. Then we have to start back at square one all over again. Right? All right, a word for 2023, victory and deliverance. The Lord said, you are stepping in. Now listen to this. He's talking to you. You are stepping into an interesting year marked by my victory. There will be battles, turmoil, and unrest, but be rest assured that you will witness the greatest display of my deliverance, which will unfold like a glorious silk rug, for my righteousness will be on display. And I know that this is God speaking, because he's told me the same thing. He's getting ready to pour out things that people thought we'd never, ever see. We have too many negative people, too many people not walking in the spirit and have their religious spirits going, that's really destroying other people's faith. God's going to take those people out of their pulpits. Come on. God said, many will fear and lack the basic needs of life. But as for you, you people in here, my covenant people, you shall lack nothing. On the contrary, you will experience a river of peace and prosperity. And I know that right now you think this isn't the truth. I mean, things are going on in your life. The devil has come in and made you think this is what God promises is never going to happen. And you have to fight to keep your head above water. But keep, what do you call that whenever you swim with your feet? Keep treading water, because God is getting ready to give you what he's promised you. For I, your divine shepherd, God speaking again, will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessings. No one will be able to stop what I'm going to do. How many times do you have to tell us that before we believe him? For my righteousness will be established and my justice will be executed. Big names will be found guilty, accused, condemned, and fired. So do not fear or be dismayed, for you will be protected and comforted. Thieves will be exposed by their closest associates, and evil inner circles will break, turn against each other, and expose each other. That's why I don't like little cliques in the church. We are all one, and we should be associating with everybody, just not one or two people. I sit back there sometimes, and I just wait, okay, when are they going to start? Then they start moving from their seats, and they go sit by the little cliquish friend, and they sit there and talk and laugh, and they don't even know anybody else that's in the church. Why don't you try talking and laugh with somebody else for a change? Come on, stop your clicks. I will suddenly appear on the stage, and my appearance will change the entire scene. Many will be surprised and shocked at my sudden appearance. You know, and I believe that's us too, because as much as we are expecting it, when it happens, I don't think we're going to sit here and be excited. We're going to sit here with our mouths wide open at what God's really doing. I really do believe that. It will be like the days of Noah, where everything seemed normal until the flood came and took them away. For my great hand and powerful arm can't be manipulated or stopped. He said, "What? Where everything will appear normal. You and I walk into the church, everything's normal." And my constant prayer is, God, move today. I want you to be here today and move today. Probably if you did, I might never get up front. I might be sitting back there with my mouth wide open. Can't believe he's even doing anything. You know what I'm saying? You know, this is just the way we are. But we really do want God to move, right? Yes. We really do want the healing to come into the house of God. We want the miracles to happen. And if we sit with our mouth wide open, that's okay. Get moving, God. Keep moving. Right. Yes. We'll eventually get to it. You know, get out of our little stupor and we'll join you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. He says, God said, deliverance is coming, says the Lord, for the prayers of the saints have been answered. This is a year where you will experience me as your divine shepherd. Know for certain that I have my rod in my hands and I'm experienced at using it. In other words, don't worry about your enemies. God already has them all whacked up. Amen. He's already went along and bopped them a good one and stuck them in a box somewhere. And you're going to be free to go forth and do the things that you know God's called you forth to do. I get so angry at some ministers who bind their people up, who don't really show love. You know, we're not supposed to judge one another. We're supposed to love one another. And, you know, and I really don't like to use the word Valentine's Day this month, because it's not about a box, like I told them, about a box of chocolates or a card. It's all about Jesus. It's a heart thing. And we should be walking in love 24/7 every day of the year. But we don't. We don't. And I keep crying out to God, God, what's it going to take to make this a reality in the church? Maybe first in our homes. But the church has to grab hold of this. And they can't let go of it. Are you listening? But as for you, my beloved, the green pasture, the still waters, and the restoration of your nation and your soul will be your portion. See that? What's going to be your portion? Then why are you so down in the mouth? You really don't believe what I just read. You grinned at me and went like this. You don't believe that no more than this floor does. If you believed that, you would act different. I'm not judging the way you praise. I'm just looking at I just watch your faces, and I know you don't believe this most of the time. But when I go home, I pray, God, let them chew it up really good and digest it and start believing it. Amen. Because it's true. We don't preach anything or teach anything that's false. It's all true. It's in the Word. And we can grab a hold of that Word and we can run with it. I was saying, have you noticed how fast time has gone? And I was asking Aaron how long he's been here. I said, that just doesn't seem possible. Doesn't seem possible. 15 years ago, God told me the glory was coming either. I mean, you know, time has really gone by, but we're still believing. We're still trusting. Some of you are going, get out of here. Come on. We're still believing and we're still trusting because God said so. Some of you wouldn't even be here today if it wouldn't be for God and what he's promised your grandmother or your mothers. But I tell you what, you're a poor bunch when you can't believe for miracles. I walked in miracles. I know what miracles are. And I can't help they're not happening right now. I'm not God. I pray enough about it. You know, I have long conversations about it. But when God's ready, he's going to do it. Come on, he's going to do it. What he did before, he's going to do again, but at a greater length than what he did before. I mean, you know, I could, you know, we used to have people, a few get healed every time we had church. But I believe whenever God starts again, everybody that needs healing is going to be healed. I really do believe that. I believe there won't be one soul can walk through the door that isn't healed before he even gets clear through the door. You know, if before the people were slain in the spirit outside the door and healed, why, one or two, why can't a multitude do that? Are you listening? I can't help you never witness that. I can't. That's not my problem. My job is to tell you what's going to happen. And then it's your job to either believe or disbelieve. And if you disbelieve, God says whenever it really does happen, you'll never be able to witness it. Understand that. It doesn't matter if he heals you today or 10 more years down the road. If he's promised it, he's still going to do it. I don't even know where I'm at. Celebration, is that where I'm at? All right, where I will anoint your head with the oil. Well, let's just read it. But as for you, my beloved, the green pasture, the still waters, and the restoration of your nation and your soul will be your portion. For this shall be a year of restoration and celebration, where I will anoint your head with the oil of celebration and put out a table for you in the presence of your enemy. What has God been trying to get us to do? Celebrate. Say celebrate. Been trying to get us to dance and rejoice and carry on like we're of the world. Well, I want to hear a slow song. Well, I'm sorry we can't go there right now. I tried it. We're still celebrating because we're winning the victory every day. Every day we're winning the victory. All right, God says security will be a great issue, but my strong arm will carry you beyond reach. The battle will get stronger. So if you're not a fighter, you might as well get up and leave right now. The battle's going to get stronger, but you will stand and watch what I will do for you, like watching a movie, for I will fight for you. See that? You will be protected against evil, fraud, plagues, and disasters. This is that, Barbara. That means you. Somebody's always trying to take her money. If you thought that the Red Sea deliverance was great, wait and see what is coming, period, comma. For I, the God of the last hour, your miracle worker, will perform that miracle. Oppression will break off for the Egyptians. You see now, you will never see again. What normally takes years to achieve will take months, and what takes months will take days. You are stepping into a year of acceleration. Exodus 15:6 says, you will sing with Miriam, and this is what Miriam sang, your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, smashes the enemy. God said, therefore, I call you to return to me wholeheartedly. This is what you're going to have to do. Therefore, I call you to return to me wholeheartedly. And when you do that, you will see the biggest display of my glory and deliverance. For this is not a year to fit in, but to stand out. So if you don't, he said, therefore, I call you to return to me wholeheartedly. If you don't do that, you're not going to receive anything from God. You can't return to him half-heartedly. You can't return to him and say, well, you know, I didn't, you know how that goes. You can't do that. You have to walk in perfect faith. And then he goes on to say, all right, he said, for this is not a year to fit in. We've never fit in, have we? Isn't that wonderful? Don't you like to be, aren't you happy being a misfit? That you're not like that world out there, that you're just so insanely crazy in love with God that you just believe he does everything that his word says. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. I think that's, thank you, Jesus. That was a pretty good statement. I just think that's wonderful. Amen. Come on. Then God said, lean on me, my beloved, for I will journey with you and carry you through. You will declare that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through his prophets. When you see what I will do, you will be filled with awe. Remember, God said, this is years of awe, the days of awe. And your faith will go to the next level up. I wish your faith would go to the next level up right now. Instead of just saying, well, let me think about this for another year. You will truly sing. Isn't that wonderful? You do a good job of singing, by the way. I enjoyed listening to you up here. All right. So you are getting into it. And you know, you're really enjoying what you're doing. So that's a plus. I give you a little gold star today because you sounded really great. All right. You will truly sing, surely goodness and unfailing love will follow me and pursue me all the days of my life. Is that what you're singing right now? Surely goodness and unfailing love will follow me and pursue me all the days of my life. I should have put that scripture down. You don't sing that. Don't even lie to yourself. Because I watch and I listen. I'm going to give you a little bit of a testimony here because I believe God. I believe every word he tells me. I believe his word is yes and amen. And when I first, I've always been saved, but I got born again. I started reading my word for myself. And I realized that I didn't realize because I didn't know before, but I just believed everything he said. Lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. Pray for the dead, they're going to come back to life. You know, I believed all that stuff. And guess what? It worked. When I was full of faith and stupid, it worked. But then you get older in God, you know, and then you start thinking, is this really going to work? After you did it for 15 years, is this really going to work? Come on, dummy. That was the enemy putting out doubt and unbelief in there. And when he did that, if you noticed, your faith started waning and you didn't see as many miracles as you did for 30 years. It was 30 years, not 15. All right, let me give you a little bit of a testimony. You all know I was sick. I'm sick and I wasn't here this morning. And the reason was is because I'm pretty sure I have fluid around my heart and it's trying to drown me. Now, if I go to the doctors, you know what to do to people in their 80s. They all of a sudden die. So I'm not going to go to no doctors. And my daughter Alicia keeps encouraging me to go have the fluid drained off my heart. She said, that's what you should do, Mom, because she had liver problem too. But this is what I'm going to get at. 2 days ago, I looked in the mirror. I didn't see myself. I saw a face of death. I was ashen, circles under my eyes, and no shine to my face, whatever. So the next day, I looked in the mirror, saw the very same thing, and God said, somebody is praying death over you. And so I had a really bad night last night, and I couldn't get ready for church because I didn't have no breath. So, but I'm still walking in faith. I'm here tonight. Yeah. You know, I'm still walking in faith. God said, you're healed. It doesn't matter how much pain is raging through my right side. I'm healed. I'm up here teaching you that God is a God of the miracles. And before this all happened, God said, you're going to go through a Job experience. And if you read about Job, he lost everything. He was sick for a long period of time, and finally God healed him. So it's nothing, I don't need anybody to rub me with oil, send me a prayer cloth. God had told me before it ever started, but you are healed, and I'm going to return your youth, and you're going to go forth and do great and mighty miracles for me. In fact, I'm placing a Catherine Kuhlman anointing on you. Now that was what going on 2 years ago now. I'm still believing that he's the same God today as he was then. Now, if that doesn't raise your faith level, I don't know what's going to. Because what you're seeing sitting here should not be sitting here. I should either be dead or it's in my bed getting there, dead. Because I know what I saw in the mirror, and I know what I saw today in the mirror. So what? Who are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the report? Lord, you know, and I had to go through, when I first got born again, I had to go through forgiving everybody that did me really bad. I had to love the unlovable. All these years, I've had to love the unlovable. And those who curse me, I have to bless. And that's why I consider today and say, my God is going to fulfill every promise he's ever given me, because I follow every commandment he gave me. And I'm still loving the unlovable. I'm still loving those who are taking and taking and taking and give nothing. But I'm not going to go to hell for anybody. I'm not going to die for anybody either. Because God said, you shall live and not die. What has God promised you? How many years ago did he promise us that we're going to get a new building? We still don't have the new building, but it's there. And when God's ready, he's going to move us into it. There's some things he has to meet. He said that he's going to fill this place up again like he used to. And then overnight, we're going to go into a brand new building that's going to be all set up. All we have to do is walk into it. I believe that. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd quit. Because God said, don't teach something you can't live. Too many people are out there speaking things that they're not living. Gives people false hope. You're saying things and you're walking differently than what you're saying. There's enough confusion out there. The church doesn't have to cause more confusion. Are you listening to me tonight? It's time that we rise up in our most holy faith. All right, the title that she had on here was Pastored, Fired, and Great Miracles. I'm going to walk in. I'm not worried about being fired, because I know I'm not going to be. Because I know who I am and I know who talks to me. It's not some devil. It's not some pastor, you know, letting the devil use them to run me down to the whole community. God speaks to me. Amen. Come on. If you don't stand your ground, the devil's going to take you out. But see, I know who I am. I know what God's called me to. I know what I can do and I know what I can't do. And I sure couldn't do this without the anointing. Think about this, you guys. What do you allow the enemy to do, and what are you allowing God to do? What are you really believing for? If you're not going to walk in faith, just don't even come to church. I'm telling you, you're wasting your time. Because when the miracles do start happening, you're not going to receive any. God told us that years ago, get in the river now, or when my spirit starts moving, you won't be able to get in. So I'm giving you an out. If you really don't want to walk in the Spirit, if you don't want to have 100% faith, there's no sense you just taking up a seat. You need to be about the Father's business. And the Father's business is souls. First of all, yours. There's a lot of people who aren't sitting and ask God to think they're saved that aren't even saved. And so he's after your soul. And then after he gets your soul, then he wants you to go out and win other souls to Christ. But some of you wished I'd have stayed home. Come on. God's trying to get you to move. He's trying to get you to rise up above that dumb stuff that keeps you down. You know, we're not supposed to fear, but last night I had to fight fear all night long, because when you can't breathe, you know, you don't know when everything's going to happen. So I had to, even though I wasn't feeling well, I fought fear, you know, and finally the fear went away and then I was all right. I'm not going to sit up here and say I didn't have fear. I did. Twice now I've had fear, because I knew that if I didn't hold on to God, I was done. Some of you might have gone through that. Some of you might go through that. But don't allow fear to take you out. God is not a God of fear. He's a God of love. And love casts out all fear, right? So hold on. No matter how you're being tested and tried, hold on. Because your miracle is on its way. And I know you've heard that till you're about blue in the face. But I don't care how long you've heard it. We've been here for over 15 years, and when God had me tell you the glory was coming, then the next words is, don't grow weary in telling him it's coming. I thought, oh, geez. So it's been 15 years. And in that 15 years, I said, God, did you really tell me to tell them that? You know, but then other people have said the same thing too. So where is your faith? Where is your faith? If it's in your shoe, forget about it. Your faith has to be in your heart. Your spirit man has to be exploding with faith. If it's in your hiney, well, just stand up and let it move up, you know. But please don't be quenching your faith. God, you know, what God wants to do tonight is give you an abundance of faith. A faith that's going to go into you, and you're going to know that you know that you know that whatever God said is true and it's going to come to pass. That's what the altar call is. So if you want to come and get that faith that God has to give you, He's ready.